The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on the following show are solely those of the host, guest, and its callers. It's time for The Growth Strategist. Here's your host, Aldana Ambler.
Well, welcome to the program. This is The Growth Strategist, and I'm Aldana Ambler. And each week we rotate through different growth strategies for mid-sized companies. One week it's going to be franchising, the next week it's an IPO, and next week it's geographic expansion. And I interview CEOs from mid-sized companies. Most of them are about $20 million. And a lot of them are on the Inc. 500. And one of the things that we've done in this first quarter of 2007 is we're taking a look back at where people are now, the people who've been on the show in previous months, and we're also looking at the theme of the combination and the balance of strategy, execution, cash, and people. Because we did a little research, and we found that one of the things that the listeners are wanting is, how do you diagnose when you're in trouble? How do you see some early warning signs of where things are slipping away? Or how do you figure out what to emphasize when you're trying to make your move? And that's hard for a lot of people, especially when it's a complicated business, you got a lot going on, and you're at the top of this thing. So today I want to talk about how do you recognize some of those early warning signs that tell you that either a key thing that you're working on is kind of slipping, or that you're not as clear as you thought you were. And those early warning signs make a huge difference in the momentum of a growing business. For those guests who have not heard me before, I'm a growth strategist. I've been in business 35 years, and I've helped over 800 companies achieve really, truly, you know, accelerated, very dramatic growth with sustained profitability. And so, you know, I've seen all kinds of stories. So what I've done is I've gone back over some of the things that I've seen pretty recently. I don't want to go back, you know, 20 years or something, but, you know, some of the recent things, just to give you a hint of where the symptoms are. So let me start. Okay, so the first one that made me, this is the thing that prompted the show. I'm sitting on an Acela train. You know, Amtrak has these fast speed trains, particularly on the Northeast Corridor. And I'm returning from Boston to, you know, New York, that kind of run. And the Acela trains are almost like an office. When people just jump on those trains, they open up the laptops before they even have their coats off. It's amazing. And you feel like you're in a bullpen, because the cell phones are working and the laptops are going. And I'll tell you what, if you wanted to do some competitive reconnaissance, you should just have somebody ride the Acela train back and forth between Washington and Boston. Because even if the companies aren't headquartered in that area, it is stunning how many salespeople and how many reps and how many department heads are on that train and how vocal they are, especially when they're doing cell yell. And you can, if you're really focused, if you actually, you know, watched who was going where and when, you could figure out what was going on with your competitors pretty well. So anyway, I'm sitting on this train, and sure enough, there's this sales guy, and I don't know what title he is. Let's generously call him an account exec. And he's in the IT industry, and I'm going to call him Kevin. All right, now picture this guy. He's the one with the beard, but it's cleanly, you know, manicured. You know, he's neat, but he's hyper. He's one of these guys that can't shut up. And he's talking the entire trip from Boston to New York. Now, he's across the aisle from one of the other people from his company. They're not sitting next to each other. I'm not sure if that was because the train was really full, or it was the choice of the guy that he was traveling, quote, with. I want you to picture this guy. That's why I'm giving you the description. So it's a loud train, lots of noise, people, lots of commotion, lots of conversations, but this guy's is really crystal clear. You can hear almost too much. Now, his partner, who's traveling with him, isn't saying much of anything. In fact, it seemed like as they were traveling, the other guy, and I don't even know his name, he's kind of not there. And he would drift into his newspaper, and he would mumble something back to Kevin once in a while. But in some ways, you kind of think about, he must be tolerating this big mouth. So when he would start to read his paper, Kevin would get the hint, or maybe he doesn't, and he would get on the phone. He'd pick up his cell phone almost nervously, and he called prospects. He called their customers. He called the people that they were proposing work to. And wait till you hear what he says. He gets on the cell phone and he says, "Hey, Cynthia, I wanted to just touch base with you. I'm traveling to North Carolina later this week. Hey, listen, I went down to North Carolina this last week. I stopped in to see Joe. Couldn't believe it. I was there in person. I'd made the trip. I call him up to tell him that I'm downstairs. And he says, okay, well, a little later today, why don't we line up a conference call?" Now, I don't understand it. I mean, I can't believe this. How could he propose a conference call when I'm there in North Carolina? What is it with this guy? Now, let that sink in. That means Kevin is running his mouth on a train, number one symptom. Number two, he's lining up. Why was he lining up appointments? How is he lining up appointments? How on earth could he have ended up in North Carolina without a clear appointment, without a clear purpose, without the prospect knowing why he was there? And then how can Kevin be so dense to not pick up the hint that when he's actually on site, the prospect doesn't want to be with him enough that he would want to have a conference call with him rather than have him come upstairs from the lobby? And instead of dealing with it, he's saying it to another prospect. I listened to him call four people and complain about the other prospect. Complain that when he went down to North Carolina, what is it with this guy? I was there in the lobby. I was in North Carolina. I made a point of coming to see him, and he wants to make a conference call. Or this is the kind of guy that would say a con call. He wants to have a con call. What is it with him? And complaining about the other guy. Now, those of you who are listening to this that are tuned in to the behavior of some of your salespeople might go, "Well, none of my people would ever do that." Well, wait a minute. Yes, they would. Don't you go away. Yes, they do. What's missing? What's missing that this guy would act like that? Is it cash? Is it execution? Is it people? Or is it strategy? And it's not as obvious as you may think. Let's go through each one. Well, one of the responses is this guy is really so dense. I mean, how can he not see that the guy in North Carolina doesn't want to talk to him? And he's choosing a conference call because he might be able to control the ending of the conference call, roll his eyes, and Kevin not see it. He could probably shut him up. He could get him off the phone at least. That's one of his desires. And Kevin's so dense, he can't figure out that he won't shut up. I mean, the guy looks like he needs Ritalin. So he's dense. All right, so maybe the simple solution is, how do we have somebody who is so clueless in the sales force? So maybe it's related to recruitment. Maybe it's related to how did we get such a hyperactive guy, you know, being like a loose cannon out in the field. Okay, that is one answer. That is one thought. Maybe you got to think about who you're recruiting. But, hey, if you're a rapidly growing company, you've got a hot product, and they do, you've got a really neat piece of software and lots of applications, and you've got these billable people that are fabulous. I mean, you're really on a roll. It's hard to find good salespeople. This guy is real excited. He really likes what he's doing. He's willing to get on trains and planes and go places. He seems bright. He's articulate. He's got energy. He's exactly who you'd tend to hire. So if you go nuts going back to how did this guy slip in, you might miss that he's probably who you need. Okay, let's drill a little deeper on the people side. All right, well, maybe if he's an okay recruit, who might be missing? So I wonder where his manager is. I wonder where the supervisor is. And if he even has one, my thought is this guy's not even telling anybody when he has that kind of problem. He's reaching out to prospects to try to figure out what's wrong. He knew, Kevin, as dense as he sounds, knew that he's in trouble, that he can go to North Carolina and someone could try to blow him off to a conference call. He can see the symptoms, but he doesn't know what it means. I wonder if the issue is he doesn't have anybody he can tell. He doesn't have anybody in that company that he can actually talk to about, "I got blown off for a conference call. I wonder what that means," where it would be safe. Who's coaching him? See, this is a cue to me. It's a cue for coaching. Who's helping him kind of debrief and go through what happened on the conference call, what happened when you made your trip, how are you going? I mean, where's the sales manager? And it's amazing. I've seen an awful lot of companies that they spend a lot of money and commissions throwing people out in the field trying to go after new business, and there's nobody behind the scenes coaching them. And I'm not talking about tracking them and sitting on, you know, did they hit their goals and looking at paperwork and beating on them for not hitting quota. I mean, do they have somebody that it's safe for them to walk through How are they approaching it? What are they saying? What were the objections? What's next? That person who where it's going to be helping them close, helping them open doors, helping them be more appropriate. That's what I wondered about. But let's check. Let's kind of run through. Could it be execution? Now, what do I mean by execution? You got a symptom here of a guy who's on a train running his mouth. Sometimes that happens if how the company is delivering its services aren't quite what it seems. And they're nervous. And they're trying really hard to overcompensate for problems behind the scenes. So I would at least look, when you have a salesperson running his mouth like this, what's he so nervous about? Why is he so hyper? Because it might not be medical, it might not be that he needs Ritalin. Why is he so hyper? Where does the energy come from? He may feel like he has to quickly get a sale right now or something's going to go wrong. I would, before you get too nuts about, you know, making sure that the sales manager knows what they're doing, watch what this guy's telegraphing to the world. Now, it makes me wonder, as, say, a potential customer, I wonder how they are following through. If their salesperson is this nervous, what's going on in the execution? What's going on in the delivery of service? Do they have enough backup? Are they delivering what they promise, or are they putting their salespeople out there feeling like they're promising something that isn't going to happen? I would at least look to see if there's gaps in execution that's making salespeople. I would check to see if it was beyond Kevin. You follow how I'm thinking? Okay, let's check the third one. Could it possibly be cash? Okay, now, salespeople are always nervous when it comes to money. If they don't see their commission checks on time, if they don't see their reimbursement for their expenses on time, if their trips are cut back or anything like that, they get nervous that the company's in trouble and they overreact. You know, not all of them, but that's a tendency of, you know, they have early warning signs. Talk about being sensitive to early warning signs. Salespeople are often the ones that are most sensitive to it. At least check if you've got salespeople instead of just Kevin that are acting all nervous. Can you look at how your money's being spent? Can you look at the openness of your budget? Can you look at the explanation behind how money's done so that you're not setting off the sales force to act too nervously? When you get nervous salespeople, they push away orders. People like to buy from happy folks, people who are comfortable, people who express trust in their business. And when you have somebody who's acting like a loose cannon because your money's not calm, you actually push away the income that you need to make your money come in. Now let's try the fourth one and then we'll take a break, because it's kind of interesting that Kevin, you know, provides so many symptoms about one company. And there's so much more there. I sat there and I was going, you know, I think they need their company analyzed, and I don't think any of them realize that. Try the fourth one, strategy. Oh, and how are you going to tell that from a nervous salesperson that's running at the mouth? Well, as I listened to him on the phone, and I listened to how he would describe what the company did, it wasn't clear. What was the clear differentiator between, you know, what their software did, what their people did? What's the difference between their company and another? When they opened up the laptops and they were looking at their presentations, it was all on specific execution. It was on features. It was on details. But it didn't have that strong differentiator, that value proposition, that guarantee. I would go back to why this company should be the one brought in. And you can tell by the nervous salesperson. Make you think? We'll be right back. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler.
From the stock market floor to your computer, you're listening to Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
When you have a stroke, you may not even notice it right away. But then, time passes, and the symptoms get worse. One minute you feel fine, and the next, your speech could be slurred or not make sense. One side of your body might become numb. You might see double. You drop the TV remote because you can't hold up your arm. That's because, after a stroke, every minute you don't get help is another minute that your brain is being starved of oxygen. The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, sudden trouble seeing, speaking, or understanding. If you experience any of these warning signs, call 911 immediately, because time lost is brain lost. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the program. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and today we're talking about how do you recognize early warning signs, those symptoms that tell you something's not right. And I've given you an example of Kevin, the guy that's sitting on the Amtrak train running his mouth. Now, he's a salesperson, and boy, you can, I'll tell you what, you can learn an awful lot listening to the ramblings of salespeople. Now, one other piece that he said. Now, listen to this. Okay, in the midst of all his ramblings, he starts talking about recent staff meetings and sharing with his partner, you know, whatever his name was, Mr. Invisible, who's just tolerating him. He blurts out, he says, well, you know, that's just the engineers. They come in and they blow off steam and they rant and rave about something that's bothering them. Nothing changes, and then they go away. So, I mean, that's just like every staff meeting. Okay, here we go again. There's a symptom. Which one? Execution, people, strategy, or cash? What is that about? Now, you could, again, go straight to the people side and say, we've got a bunch of hothead engineers that just blow off steam, disrupt the management team meeting. Don't they understand what meetings are for? Well, I'll tell you what, that may be a good sign about your company that your engineers care. They may not know what to do with the energy, and it blurts out there. But the fact that they have some passion about what they're doing, and they're trying to get the company to understand it, they come up for air, you know, in the midst of their working on their projects, to blow it off and say, help, 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 and then go back to work. At least they're energized. So the product probably has some merit to it. The future of the business probably has some excitement. But what is missing? Listen to that again. Isn't that a second hint? Where are the coaches? Where are the middle managers? Where's the safe place for the engineers to be able to say, this isn't working, you don't understand, there's too little time, what about the money, what about the priorities, where are we headed? We need support. Something. They're saying something in that blurt. And, you know, again, that's stereotypes about the engineers blurting, but a lot of companies have had the symptom. What does it tell you is missing? So if you kind of walked around this company and you watched for the people like Kevin and the engineers and the screams for help in their behavior, instead of squashing them down and saying, what's the matter with you for expressing that negativity? What's the matter with you for having, you know, anxiety about the business? I would look to their bosses. I would wonder, okay, what's that group right above them doing? Now, if the next symptom is, if the group above them is buried in paperwork, they're buried in tracking, they're trying to cover their butt, they're, you know, my brother calls them trackers and beaters. If what they're doing is just keeping score about what the people out in the field are doing, instead of having a chance to actually help and facilitate, problem solve, prevent, what is the issue? It could be the people that you hired for the middle. Most of the time, believe it or not, I find that it's cash. Because if they're so worried about accountability, so worried about tracking it, so worried about, you know, trying to hit a deadline or squeeze out another, you know, piece of productivity out of two dimes, maybe this company is undercapitalized. Start to look at your premises about money. because if what you're trying to do is have it squeezed out of the day-to-day profitability, and it's supposed to be only organically grown, and we're not going to have any debt, and we don't want to have any equity players, and we're not going to have this, and we're not going to have that, that squeeze play related to your cash shows up fastest in the middle management. So in the symptoms of Kevin on the train, I have questions in all four areas. Is there a definable competitive advantage that everybody's rallied around? I think maybe the engineers are, but the salesperson's not centered. Is there clear execution so that everybody can count on it? And is it funded well enough that they can actually talk to each other about it as they live it? And is there a middle management group that has the skill to give that environment that frees people up to actually function? That's one way you can use some of these early warning signs to walk through the four pieces. Let's try another one. Because if you don't relate to that particular one, let's try another one. Let's try two, in fact. The early warning sign, and it's not such an early warning sign, is that the board is not happy with the profitability. Now, there's two situations. One is Tim and one is Jack. In Tim's situation, this organization was going to, and it doesn't matter what industry it's in, was going to be, it's in a very competitive arena. The board decides that it wants to grow. We're gonna kick some butt. We're gonna be making more branches. We're gonna make a real big splash in this marketplace. If we have to acquire a bunch of sub companies, that's what we'll do. It's time. It's time for us to make our move. We're not gonna be local anymore. We're gonna be a regional outfit. They bring in Tim, who is a talent magnet. People from it around the industry are so tickled that he's a CEO. There's talent. I mean, high level. Oh, wow, isn't that cool that those people have all come together? The top level people, you know, don't seem to be the issue when you look at it. But the profitability is not there after a couple years. You know, they got more branches. They've made some acquisitions. They've been visible. Their marketing's fabulous. And the people look like they're really good. Okay, and they were funded. You know, the cash was there to fund the acquisitions. It wasn't like they tied their hands. All right, what are we down to? Execution and strategy. All right, so is it the fault, you know, of people who are executing it? Maybe they didn't deliver on what they promised. Maybe they're not as good as they seemed. Something's not right here. We're not making money. Well, I look to strategy. Because is it clear what the strategy is? I heard the goal. The goal was to grow. The goal was to make a regional company out of this. The goal was to be, you know, big. The goal was to make a statement. The goal was to make money. I hear lots of goals. But where is the value proposition that would drive the growth? Just because you're acquiring and just because you're making a scene doesn't mean that you have something that's going to support increased profitability. And if the CEO and the board were not in concert about what the true strategy is, and strategy is about that value proposition. Why you versus someone else? In a short period of time, even if you've had the money, even if you get the people, and even if you have the momentum of acquiring, et cetera, and you got great marketing, if there's nothing there, if there's nothing that differentiates you and makes it absolutely clear that you should be buying from that business versus another, you can beat up people about their execution, you can beat them up about cash, and you can beat them up about who they are. But it won't change anything. And one of the sad things is, in the paper recently, Tim just got fired. The board just fired the president. They still got that strategy problem, folks. And some of the people that were attracted to Tim, are they going to stay? If they still have the strategy problem and they still have the lack of the, you know, competitive advantage, is this going to work? Try a second one. And they could have seen this, by the way, before the profits started to go down. They could have seen the gap, but they didn't. Talk about not seeing an early warning sign. Now, let's try another one. This also is not an early warning sign, but this is the first one that was recognized. Okay, there's a president who's brought in to grow a business. Again, the board, and both of these had some family involved. The board says, we want to grow. You know, it's time, I'm getting old, you know, the chairman of the board says, I'm getting old, it's time for somebody else to run this thing, and I'm going to bring somebody from within the industry that knows hard to hard drive it and grow it. Okay. After 4 or 5 years, it's tripled in size. The profitability by percentage is the same as what it was. and the chairman of the board's not happy. I need more profitability. I expected much more. Bitch, bitch, gripe, gripe. Excuse me? Now, what happened? Now, the same thing could happen to Tim, to Jack, that happened to Tim. The chairman of the board, the family, the board could say, it's you. You're the figurehead of this, and we're not making the kind of money we expected, and we're going to let you go. Or, even worse, or the same, it's the same result, but it feels worse. Jack could look at this and say, are you kidding me? I've tripled your business. I've put in the profitability at the same percentage you had, which means you've got more money. I put you on the map. I took you where you couldn't go for 50 years, and you're not satisfied? Excuse me? And get all huffy and leave. Now, either way, does that help? Does that help the company? Does it help the board deal with what's missing? Okay, what's missing? People, execution, cash, or strategy? Now think. On the surface, it sounds like they answered the people question. They brought somebody in who hired good people. They did their job. They tripled the company. They got net profit. Sounds good. Okay. What else? Cash? The board, you know, put in, the board and family invested in them. They were cash rich. They just didn't have the net that the board was looking for. That's your primary symptom. The board is looking for more profit, more something. All right, is it in the execution? Well, one of the execution pieces I can hear is, where was the negotiation of expectations? Just because the president knows how to grow it and has been there and done that before. If they don't negotiate exactly what the expectations are and spell them out, they leave themselves vulnerable to being nailed later, to being balled out later and told they didn't do enough, even when they did a spectacular job. And I also wonder about strategy. Because if Jack kept his head down, which is what happened there for a couple of years, it's like, okay, you brought me in to grow this thing, leave me alone. You know, I don't want to be micromanaged. I don't need my hands held. Put his head down, just did it the way he knew how to do it. And then he's coming up for air and he's getting beat up. All right. Were they in concert about the strategy? Probably not. I think there could have been a compliant kind of thing on the board's part where they said do it, but then they really had preferences of how. You know, maybe they wanted to have certain branches or a certain look or a certain approach or certain products that they wanted to emphasize, and that never really came out. And so being compliant and saying, well, let's let the president do his thing, the board is held back what it really wanted, and that was never revealed, never negotiated, never argued through, whatever's needed. When a president comes in and lowers their head and just goes for growth and then comes up for air later and then gets balled out for what they didn't do, it's pretty ugly. All right, what were the early warning signs? Not the fight. Not that you didn't give me enough profit. The early warning signs were the head down, the avoidance of the board. That's the early warning sign. When a president feels that they have to avoid the board, it's an early warning sign that strategy has not been negotiated. Expectations have not been negotiated. And it's going to be like a landmine field no matter how well you do. Make you think? We're going to go through a couple more. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldona Ambler. I'll be right back.
'401s, stock, mortgage, retirement, wealth. We cover it all. Voice America Business.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldona can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in The Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldona Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast-growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldona played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldona Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
Wearing a football jersey doesn't make you an athlete. Just like riding a motorcycle doesn't make you a bad boy. And starting a business doesn't make you a true entrepreneur. True entrepreneurs with purpose transform their world. There is something qualitatively different about them. They are risk takers. They turn the ordinary into the extraordinary, transform the problems into solutions, and they are among the leading visionaries of our time. True entrepreneurs are, in other words, agents of change for our society and our world. Join Elizabeth Page on Equinexus, Empowering Entrepreneurs Talk Radio Show, which airs live every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on the Voice America Business Network. Equinexus will introduce you to entrepreneurs as innovators and world-class leaders. Listen every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 p.m. Eastern, to meet the people who have done it. Meet the people behind the businesses and organizations that are changing the world. And you will realize how you can change your world, too. Tune in every Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, 12 Eastern, on the Voice America Business Network for Equinexus, Empowering Entrepreneurs, with host Elizabeth Page.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist, Aldana Ambler, and we're talking about how do you recognize early warning signs that something's not quite right, and I'm using strategy, execution, cash, and people for you to kind of scan your company and think through what might it mean if it were you. Now, I'm going to tell you the punchline of this, and I'm going to go back and show you some symptoms that don't look like they're the same, but they have the same diagnosis. I'll show you what I mean. My diagnosis for both of these is that we have an indecisive exec. We have an exec that is torn about where they want to go with the business and what size they want the company to be. Okay, that's my punchline. I'm going to reverse the presentation here. That's the punchline. Now listen to how different the symptoms are. In one case, the first symptom that they recognize, now this is pretty late down the path, but this is the first time that this particular CEO recognized it. Her name's Donna, and she discovered, much to her dismay, that one of her employees of 17 years, you know, that she thought had been really good at sales and had helped drive the business and was, you know, very influential in growing the business to that point, was working with two other people in the company to establish another business, to go off on their own. And they actually had the audacity to do it on the computers of the company. Donna had to ask them to, you know, go off site at some point. I don't remember exactly how she did it. But she came back in, she did the investigation, found the evidence of what she's talking about, had to change the access to the computers, lock down, all that kind of stuff, kick them out and all that. Now, those three people went and created their own business. It did, you know, the partnership fell apart, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what an ugly experience for Donna to have that somebody that she thought was loyal to her would go and create their own business during the day at work on her computers. All right, now I'll give you another one. And I want you to think about my punchline. Is it the indecision of Donna? Okay? How about the owner of a business who is mad at the salespeople and feels like he's trapped? This guy's name's Jeff. And Jeff feels like he's stranded. I mean, you know, one minute, you know, he's talking about it's really nice that their business has grown. The customers have seen him as this, you know, top dog in this one particular application of what they do. And so, you know, when the customers call, they have to have him. So he's spending like 85%, 90%, sometimes 120% of his time, seriously, doing all this billable work for these big accounts. He's carrying multi-millions of billable time. And is furious at the salespeople because instead of them driving the growth of the business, they're still dependent on him. And he's excited about what he just did on this big project that he's out on. And he wants it leveraged. He wants to have publicity to say, this is what we've done. And can't figure out why the salespeople can't sell. Now, how in the world, with those two examples, one is salespeople that aren't selling and the boss trapped and billable, and the other one is somebody, you know, an employee of 17 years going out and competing. Well, when you go through it and you really listen, both of them are at that plateau of about 20 people, both of them. And at about 20 people, one of the things that happens is that the owner of the business is making enough money, has a nice house on the hill overlooking the lake, driving the nice car, and they can become a little risk adverse. And there are some personal decisions. There are some career decisions about what they want in life. And in both cases, are they the key salesperson? Are they the key doer? Is the business about them? Is it about their ego? You can have 20 people behind you and it'd still be about your ego and still be about what you like to do, what you personally like to do. And when your behavior telegraphs to your employees that it's about you, your preferences, what you and your career want to do, you are telegraphing to them that it's an incorporated career and that's all that truly matters. And it sends a message to people who are ambitious. People who are thinking about, they thought they were in a growth-oriented company. They thought they were in a company where they were going to make a difference. It changes how they think. And in the case of Donna, the employees thought they were going to be, like the one of them was going to be head of the division or might even be the successor. And then, you know, Donna didn't act that way. She's focused on her philanthropic stuff, her nonprofit things. She starts to coast. She's not around very much. They're not talking about, you know, going to 40 people. They're not talking about growing to 100. Donna's comfortable. Well, that makes other people uncomfortable. And in Jeff's case, why would the salespeople not respond? Well, they don't have a president. They have a lead sales guy who's willing to go out and be drowned in billable work. The company doesn't have a president. They don't have anybody that's doing staff meetings on a regular basis. Oh, yeah, he shows up, but that's not the same as having had really thought it through and carefully managed, you know, what's going to happen in the next quarter, and coordinating what people are doing. If he's trying to do it on the side, when he's tired, when he's agitated, that's not the same as having the vision and developing the organization and figuring out the money, you know, all the pieces of the business. That's tough to do on the side. And they see that he's angry. That's not real motivating. So when you want to have a meeting with him and talk, what you do is get yelled at. So until Jeff gets out of his own way and redefines that when they're selling something, he can't be too much of the billable. He has to be a very small part or bring in other people that are going to work with him to learn what he knows. So his ego is not defined by, his identity is not defined by his being good at an application. Who cares? Is he going to be good at being president? Is he going to be good at becoming CEO? And everybody in the business is going to watch. Does he truly want to be the president? Or is he going to continue to get excited about being billable? So one has withdrawn, and the other has gone deep into billable, and neither has invested in being presidential and growing the business. Get it? So the symptoms are really different. One is what looks like a mutiny. The other one is salespeople that don't respond. But when you really look, it comes down to the people, the top person being indecisive. Let's try another one. Isn't this interesting? Okay, let's take some symptoms where a truly different one. The owner of the business has definitely decided that they're going to grow. Invest in a new website. They're bringing in developers to do a new platform for across the business for the orders and everything to be done in a much more a comprehensive way. Everything integrated. ERP system, et cetera. Opens a new building so that they're not all cramped. Hires a COO because they can tell that the business is going to need to be managed on a more complete basis. Only to see the sales and the profit dip. Huh? Here we are. You just said, Aldana, we're supposed to have a president. You just said you're going to have vision about where you're going. This guy's invested in being a president. He's doing these things. He's introducing change. He's driving the business to grow. And the next thing he knows, he has reduced sales. Excuse me? How's he going to do all this new stuff if the sales dip? How's he going to do it if the cash isn't there? And then he has this negativity that starts. There's this whining, and there's this irritation, and there's this, you know, complaints, and the employees being very petty, and if they didn't have some little thing that they liked 2 years ago that's not there now, they whine and act. Oh, the adolescent behavior. Ugh. And then deadlines are getting missed. Looks like the developers aren't going to hit the deadline for the new platform. And then they have people who would, you know, an employee that would come to the president, and then they go to the COO and they try to work them like kids do with moms and dads, you know, when they're trying to get more time with their friends. They got symptoms all over the place. Okay, what's the issue? Strategy, execution, cash, or people? Which one do you want to start with? Well, strategy, this guy's declared. He said, we're going to grow. Here's where we're headed. He spelled it all out multiple times that this is where we're headed, why we're introducing the new platform, why the new building. Been pretty clear about that, but I checked it out first just to make sure that he's been clear. What about cash? Let's try that. Okay, well, they're a little undercapitalized for the types of, you know, the new platform that he's bringing in. So he's looking at going out for bank money, and you know, he's saved up some money from the proceeds of the previous business and the profitability. You know, he had enough cash to try this. So that wasn't the issue at first. It becomes it with when sales dip. Okay, what about people and execution? Let's focus there for a minute. Okay, how about execution? Well, stuff's falling apart. He's done all this change, but what he's got is whiny employees and missed deadlines and triangulation and communication. Okay, so one of the key things to look at, if that's the symptom that you're facing when you're introducing big change, do you have a rhythm? Do you have a new rhythm? And I'm going to go back to the word rhythm, because no matter how motivated you are and no matter how important the changes are, it's disorienting to the people that are living it. And they need to have a predictable approach to what's going on. So when are the marketing meetings? And have them religiously. When are the sales meetings? Have them religiously. When are the operations meetings? Have them religiously. When are the finance and internal management meetings? Have them religiously. In fact, I like the rotation of once a week, you know, say Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock, you know it's going to be the marketing meeting the first week of the month, the sales meeting the second week of the month, the operations meeting the third week of the month, the internal management finance meeting the fourth week of the month, and you rotate through this, and everybody knows, and they all get the copies of the minutes, and it's integrated. And what I found when I looked at this company, one of the key things is that they don't like meetings. They don't want to talk about it. They just want to do it. Well, when you throw in that much change of a new website, and it wasn't just like a website. This is a retail business. That's a lot of it's electronic. That's a big deal in this case. And the new platform, you know, how people would function and how it affects everybody every day. They relocated. They have a new COO. I mean, think about this. There's a lot of stuff, a lot of commotion going on. And if there isn't a rhythm to when they're going to talk about it, when they owe reports, when they, you know, what numbers are we saying? And it's almost monotonous. It's going to be monotonous for the owner if they like to have flex and change and be, you know, do whatever they want. Now, there's got to be a very predictable, solid, reassuring rhythm to everything so that it sinks in. Here's the numbers. Here's what we're hitting. Here's the deadlines. Here's who's doing what. And over a period of time, folks settle down. Do you have the right people? Well, if you get the execution down, if you get that production rhythm down, if you get the meetings and the communication and everything's calm, if they can see when they're supposed to be talking about it and how to report it, how to count it, then you can see which people are going to make it and which ones aren't. If there's commotion, if there's too much inconsistency with the rhythm, it's hard to see how much is the people versus the execution. Settle the execution down. And then you can see whether or not you have somebody who loved the way it was when it was little and will never change and doesn't want it to grow. And maybe a few people need to go. That happens. But if you have too many moving targets in the people and the execution, you can't tell. Okay, the symptom was reduced sales and profit. And it was caused by the distraction of execution, not having a very predictable, calming, steady rhythm. This time, the symptom told you it was execution. We'll be right back.
Keeping you a step ahead of the changing world of business, this is Voice America Business.
Over there? Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn, so follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand.
Oh,
no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
If you're a struggling business trying to get to the next plateau and would like to learn more about what Aldana can do for you, log on to thegrowthstrategist.com. Listen to some of our many satisfied clients.
We called in the Growth Strategist to do a strategic analysis of our company, design an organizational structure, and improve our management team. The important point is that Aldana Ambler gets it. Her extensive experience coaching fast growth companies has really paid off for us.
Aldana played a key role in driving the rapid growth of our company. We now have a strategic growth plan in place, obtained growth financing, have a stronger management team, and expanded our services, and are already seeing profits. Companies dealing with business growth issues couldn't ask for a better or wiser business advisor than Aldana Ambler.
What are you waiting for? Call 1-888-ALDONA today and see where your business can go tomorrow. Once again, that number is 1-888-ALDONNA. TheGrowthStrategist.com. Achieving accelerated growth with sustained profitability.
The bottom line in business talk. Voice America Business.
You're logged on to The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. Call in right now with your questions and comments toll-free at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Now let's jump into another segment of The Growth Strategist. Here's Aldana Ambler.
Welcome back to the show. This is The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. And before I go too far further, I want to make sure you have contact information. I can be reached at www.thegrowthstrategist.com. Email is Aldana, A-L-D-O-N-N-A, at Ambler, A-M-B-L-E-R.com. So if you know my name, you can reach me. And toll-free, it's 1-888-ALDONA. Now, one of the reasons I give the contact information is I love collecting these stories. These are some of the ones I've seen with clients. But, email me, call me, tell me some that you're feeling that you've seen. It'd be kind of fun, to say, walk through, follow the symptoms so that you can see what it tells you. There's symptoms all over your growing business, and ignoring them and acting like, well, they'll go away, or it's just temporary, or that's just John. No, they're hints. There are things that are just as glaring as watching the P&L and seeing some of the metrics change. And being able to read what the symptoms are telling you is just a crucial skill for an executive of a growing business to have. And your executive team can get together and have a focused discussion. Okay, what kind of symptoms are we seeing out there? What does it tell us? Rather than ignore it. And, God bless you, you're normal. You're not immune to this stuff. In one case, for example, the manufacturing company I was dealing with, they were missing the deadlines related to building the new building, and they weren't gonna get the roof on before the snow flies, which was really what they had in mind as their goal. And they tracked back, and long story short, the primary thing that was going on was that the marketing manager was sleeping with the engineering manager, and she was also sleeping with the IT manager. Now, that kind of love triangle and the communication difficulties that come from that slow down a business and interfere with numbers and hitting deadlines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And if you didn't take the symptom of the slow productivity or the communication wasn't working, et cetera, et cetera, you never would have found out, you never would have figured out the cause of the problem. And you could just scream at people and beat on them and think it's only execution, and it might be the people that are in trouble. Another one is, a bookkeeper embezzled a ton of money from a relatively small business, about a 20-person business. Shocked the owners. They couldn't believe it. But when you really looked at the situation, it was just this one person who had a little larceny in her. There wasn't enough controls. You have to look at the controls as to how the embezzlement could happen. But the company wasn't sick. It had good strategy, had good execution. It used to have cash. And, doesn't have to fix itself just because they got, had something awful like that happen to them. Sometimes when you do a little bit of reconnaissance around the symptoms, you don't come up with a huge, let's change everything punchline. Following the symptoms matters. Now, the last story I want to tell you, because there's tons, there's hundreds of stories. This one's where sometimes you have to spend a whole year following the symptoms to get it cleaned up. Okay, so this one person, Sue, she's in an industry where there's squeezed margins by the manufacturers, and that's happening too. And you know, once it becomes a little bit of a commodity, you know, the next time you turn around, you thought you had 35% profit, you know, net gross profit, and then the next thing you know, it's down to 29. The next thing you know, it's down to 22, and then the next thing you know, it's down to 17. It's like, why are we in this business at all? So they're doing things like, you know, creating new services, changing the manufacturers, looking for other things that they can sell so that they're not stuck being this distributor to something that has such tight margins it's not worth doing. So one of the key things you have to do when you modify your strategy like that is change the sales force, because now you need more consultative selling. Now you need people who are going to be, you know, selling services, not just things. And you got to still, you know, babysit the manufacturers, but your margin's going to be optimized by a combination of things. So strategy came first. Strategy, because the manufacturers were squeezing your cash. Get it? So once that strategy's clear, then it affected people, the sales force in particular. We've got to get folks that can connect with the marketplace, that can, you know, sell something different, blah, blah, blah. Next thing they had to look at was, whoops, you know, so now we've got these new salespeople out there. They're selling something new. The margins are different. The way you keep scores different, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You turn around and you realize, the controller that we have, who's used to looking at things in a product-related way and keeping score that way, and the systems that they have are in a different manner than you're going to have. If you don't upgrade the execution of the financial management and of the paperwork and of the paper trail and of the how we keep track, the next thing you know, you're having to change the controller. It's not just the system and how they do it, but it's probably going to be the person. I mean, it'd be nice if the existing controller could magically change overnight and just learn all these new things about a service-oriented company versus a product-oriented company, but 9 times out of 10, you probably need to change your personnel. Okay, so you change the controller. And now you look around and you realize that your service people are all, the people who are in production, the ones that do the billable time, the ones that used to, you know, be used to selling things and delivering things. There isn't enough there. They have to have a different kind of definition of who they are. So you spend the whole year, because you started with a change of strategy. You said, I'm not letting tight margins squeeze me out. We are going to deal with this. You roll out over the whole year, and it feels like you're working on all four fronts the whole time. And there's symptoms of, I don't know if we can do this. There's symptoms of, I'm scared. There's symptoms of, do you know what you're doing? There's symptoms of, is this going to work? But some of those are just testing you about, did you believe in the strategy you said, and are you going to follow through? And it may take a whole year, but the follow through is very, very exciting. And the one thing this president's got to make sure they do is take enough breaks so that they don't get sick, take enough breaks that they have a clear head, because turning a company around like that and not being held hostage by manufacturers squeezing margin is a really important task to take on. Now, again, I'm going to invite you to send me your stories. Just give me a symptom. You know, it can be out of context, something that, you know, you're looking at and you realize, you know, it's a pain in the butt. You know, it keeps coming up. Maybe there's complaints in your marketing department. There's always fights between marketing and sales. Maybe it's the production people slow down. You thought you had happy campers and now they're bitching. Or maybe it's that you thought you had cash and profitability and every time you turn around now, your accounts receivable are stretching out. Whatever your symptom is, play with this for a while. We could, you know, I'm inviting you to, you know, give me some of your symptoms and walk you through. How do you walk through the words strategy, execution, cash, and people? And you think strategic planners are always going to say it's a matter of strategy? Well, if you've heard from these examples that I gave you, it's not. You could have a clear strategy and your execution's in trouble. You could have, you know, you could have the right people, but you're underfunded. You know, all four have to be, you know, in the right kind of mix for it to come together for the business to grow. This last one I'll give you, I do have a couple minutes. If there's one person that I know that's in a regulated industry, and they're up against big competitors with big bucks who can do kind of a loss leader, to put it like signing bonuses for the people that are, you know, that they're competing for. And sometimes when you're in such a difficult situation where, you know, just repositioning the company is going to be almost too hard, It's not a matter of looking at your people to find out if you've got the right ones. In fact, try to keep them. It's not even a matter of cash. You can't buy your way out of that problem. It's not even a matter of execution. You can't do it better if you're up against something that's so regulated and against such huge competitors. It comes down to strategy. It comes down to who are you? How are you going to compete? Maybe you're going to become a division of one of the big guys. Maybe you're going to do something else. But if the rules are such that, you know, you can truly tell, the odds are against you to the point where the value proposition is invisible, you may conclude that your strategy must have to change dramatically. Hope the idea of looking at symptoms has helped. I want you to think about them as a hint for strategy, execution, cash, and people. And my wish for you, as it is every week, is for accelerated growth with sustained profitability. This is the Growth Strategist, Aldona Ambler, signing out.
Voice America Business would like to thank you for logging on and tuning into The Growth Strategist. Join us each Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time for another exciting episode of The Growth Strategist, right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.